Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Your mind is the greatest gift God has given you. And that's why today we continue with a brand new series called Rethinking Your Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the 9 biblical pillars we need to reshape our minds so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to tell you how you can get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's number one best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part 2 of a message called Changing How I Think About Pain.
One of the first things our family did after Matthew took his life is we actually went away on a retreat together as a family, and we did a surrender to God retreat together, where we're saying, God, we're going to put this all in the hands, all of our brokenness, all of our pain, all of our hurt, all of our sorrow. Can you imagine that kind of sorrow? And as a family, we did a surrender to God retreat. Why? Because pain can draw you close to God if you'll let it. You know, I could give you thousands and thousands of stories of people who came to know Jesus out of pain. God whispers to us in our pleasure, C.S. Lewis said, but he shouts to us in our pain. And thousands of people's lives have come to know Christ out of pain, or their lives were transformed by the process of learning to worship, learning to trust, learning to draw close to God when you're in pain. The Bible says God is close to the brokenhearted. God is never closer to you than when you're in pain. And many of you could say, pain turned me to Christ. That's why Paul later says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, he says, I'm glad, not because it hurt you. I'm glad, not because it hurt you, but because the pain turned you to God. And that's the first thing you can do. Don't waste your pain. Let it turn you to God. Spend longer times with Him, reading the Bible, studying His Word, being quiet, listening to God, being alone with God. That's what pain can do. It can draw you closer to God. That's called worship. Number 2, the second way you can use pain for good is to use pain to draw closer to others. Use pain to draw closer to others. This is called fellowship. If you allow it, and if you're honest about the things that are causing you pain, pain will deepen and mature your love and your relationships and your sense of community and koinonia. It will build authentic relationships. You see, suffering sensitizes you because it turns you away from being self-centered to all of a sudden when you've gone through a major pain, you're sensitized to it in others. And you can see other people in pain. And all of a sudden you care more about other people in pain. You know, there's a sad statistic that about a third of marriages end up splitting up after the loss of a child because we all grieve differently, and often a husband grieves one way and a wife grieves in another way, and it causes people to go further and further apart. But Kay and I, when Matthew died, decided that we were going to use the pain to actually grow closer together rather than have it drive us apart. And one of the things we did is we decided to not try to talk each other out of our pain. But when Kay was going through a down moment or a wave of grief, I would simply walk over to her and put my arm around her or just stand by her and be quiet. I wouldn't say anything. There were no words to say. It's just the ministry of presence. The deeper the pain someone is going through, the fewer words you use. You might write that down. The deeper the pain someone is going through, the fewer words you use. Sometimes people are afraid to go over to a friend's house when they've lost love and say, I don't know what to say. Don't say anything. Just show up and shut up. Just be there. It's the ministry of presence. They don't need words. They just need your presence. Like when the night Matthew died and our small group came over and said, we're spending the night at your house. We're not going to leave you here alone. We're going to be with you. And they didn't try to preach any sermons or give us any words of wisdom. They were just there, the ministry of presence. And they slept on our couches and, you know, in our kitchen and everywhere. And I'll never forget that. And now, over the last 6 years, when Kay and I would go through different waves of grief, I'm going through grief, she would come over and just stand with me, or sometimes a pat on the back, or grab my hand, a physical, touch, without trying to explain something away or trying to talk somebody out of their pain. Instead of trying to help somebody get out of their pain, don't try to cheer people up when they're in grief. Instead, try to enter into their grief and feel it with them. That's how you use pain to build fellowship. That's how you use pain to build a relationship. That's how you use pain to get closer to someone, not trying to talk them out of what they're feeling, but actually you trying to feel it with them, sharing it with them. When we learned how to do that, I can honestly say I'm more in love with my wife today than when I met her over 45 years ago, because we've gone through the valley of the shadow of death together and so much together, and we're actually stronger. And what could have torn us apart actually brought us together. I will tell you, I asked Kay, why do you think we're so much closer together after Matthew died? She said, because you've been so nice to me. But we intentionally worked at strengthening our relationship, and we gave each other grace. And what that means is we didn't judge each other others' feelings. You see, we often think our feelings are legitimate, but your feelings are illegitimate. My fears are rational. Your fears are irrational. No, we gave each other grace. So you stop judging each other's feelings and try to feel each other's feelings. That's what you do in pain to grow closer. You know, in the past, I've taught you the four levels of fellowship. If you're in a small group, I'm sure you've heard this before, because we want your small group to grow to the deepest level of commitment, the deepest level of koinonia, the deepest level of fellowship. The simplest level of fellowship is what I call sharing together. And that's when you sit around in a group and you're just sharing your lives. And you're talking about, well, how was your week? And sharing together is good, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just at a shallower level. Then a little bit deeper of fellowship is studying together. Now, you're not just talking about each other, but you're looking at God's word and say, what does this mean to us and the mind life? Going from sharing together to studying together is going from one level of fellowship to a deeper level. But if you want your group to get even closer, you go to the fellowship of serving together. And that's where you get a project and you go work on a mission project or do a peace trip or a peace initiative. You do some kind of ministry together. Sharing is here. Studying is deeper. Serving together is even deeper. But the deepest level of fellowship when a group gets together is the fellowship of not sharing or studying or serving, but the fellowship of suffering. The Bible calls it the fellowship of suffering. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says this, by helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, when you share with each other in the suffering and you hurt when other people hurt, now you're loving your neighbors yourself. Pain can teach you how to really love, because love is not a quiver in your liver. Love is doing the sacrificial thing. Love changes bedpans when you need to do that. You might want to go tweet that one, okay? Number three, third way you can use pain for good in your life. I can use it to draw closer to God, to trust Him more. That's worship. I can use it to grow closer to you and be closer in fellowship. Number three, use pain to grow deeper like Jesus in your character. Use pain to grow deeper like Jesus. The Bible calls this discipleship. And every time you're in pain, it is an opportunity to work on your attitude, to work on your virtue, to work on your character. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, 9 qualities. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. The Bible says these are what happens when the Spirit is living through your life. How does God build these qualities in your life? By putting you in the exact opposite situations. He teaches you love when you're around unlovely people. He teaches you joy in the middle of grief. He teaches you patience by putting you in situations where you have to wait. He teaches every one of these qualities, self-control, by putting you in a situation where you're tempted to be not self-controlled. Pain is an opportunity to grow in character like Christ. But again, it's a choice. When you're in pain, you can be bitter or you can become better. Pain can be a stepping stone to maturity or a stumbling block to immaturity. It's not automatic. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 30, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Anybody want to give a testimony on that verse? Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. Now, once you have come to Christ, you're saved. You're in the body of Christ. You're in the family of God. You're a child of God. Once you're in God's family, God's number one purpose in your life is to make you like Jesus Christ. You're born again. Now he wants you to grow up like father, like son. He wants you to have the characteristics of God the Father. God wants to make you like Jesus Christ. He's the perfect model of humanity. Now, here's the corollary to that. If God's going to make me like Jesus, then he's going to take me through everything Jesus went through. Did Jesus experience pain? Oh, of course he did. Did Jesus experience times when he was lonely? Yes. When he was tempted to be discouraged? Yes. When he was simply tempted? Yes. Did Jesus have people misunderstand him and criticize him? Yes. If God is going to make you like Jesus, he's going to take you through everything Jesus went through. God did not spare Jesus from being criticized, from being persecuted. Why would he spare you? He wants you to grow up in character and be like his son. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Circle that last word. We learn obedience through suffering. In fact, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says it like this. Suffering made Jesus perfect, and now he can save forever all who obey him. Now, Jesus was perfect. What does that mean? Well, this word telios in Greek means complete. Suffering made Jesus complete. There are some things we only learn through pain. And so we want to draw closer to God. We want to draw closer to others, but we want to become more like Jesus. And God wants to build the character of Christ in your life. And some of those things can only be built through pain. In fact, Paul complimented the way that the Corinthian believers had actually grown through their pain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he says this, it's verse 11. Now, isn't it wonderful all the ways in which this distress, they had gone through some major distress there in Corinth. Isn't it wonderful all the ways in which this distress has goaded you closer to God? That's the first purpose. You're more alive. You're more concerned. You're more sensitive. You're more reverent. You're more human. You're more passionate. You're more responsible. Looked at it from any angle. You've come out of this with purity of heart. I love that Message translation of that passage. He says these seven things, being concerned and sensitive and reverent and human and passionate, responsible, being fully alive. He says, you want these things in your life? Then ask God to use the pain that's in your life to help you become more like Jesus. You see, the fact is pain always transforms us, either for good or bad. It'll make us bitter or better. As I said, pain never leaves you where it found you. You know, I have studied all my lifetime what makes great leaders and what makes great winners in life. And the number one quality of those who win in life, whether it's in sports or any other area, the number one quality is resilience. It is the ability to bounce back. Everybody stumbles. Everybody falls. Everybody has failures. Everybody has pain and suffering. But those who actually make it in life get up, pick themselves off, bounce back, and they have resilience. As the Bible says that the though a man falls seven times, a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Everybody falls, but the righteous person gets back up again and keeps going. That's called resilience, that bounce back ability. How do you become a resilient person no matter what happens in your life? Well, do you remember in our last session together? Let me go back to those three passages when we were dealing with discouragement in our last session together. Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about how Paul was resilient. So let me read those passages again. We talked about them in our previous session. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28, Paul gives the testimony of all of the pain he's been through. He said, I've been put in jail more often. I've been whipped times without number. I faced death again and again and again. Five times I was whipped with 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned with, you know, stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. And he says, I faced dangers my entire life, from flooded rivers, from robbers, from angry mobs. I faced dangers in the city and in the deserts and on stormy seas and from people who claim to be Christians but are not. He said, I've lived with weariness. I've lived with pain. I've lived with sleepless nights. I've often been hungry and thirsty. I've often gone without food. I've often shivered with cold, with not enough clothing to keep me warm. And besides all this, I've had the daily burden of all of the churches that I've started. Now, I shared that with you in our previous session. Then he says, in response to all of those things, I mean, you think you had problems. Paul did. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 10. Here is his attitude toward it. He said, you know, we're pressed on every side by trouble. Okay, it just comes pressing in on us. But we're not crushed. We're not broken. Okay, he says, we're perplexed. But we don't give up and quit. He says, we're often confused about life, but we don't give up even when we don't know the answers. He says, we're hunted down, but we're never abandoned. God never abandons us. He says, we get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. It's like a boxer. I get knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. And he says, we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, Paul says, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Whoa. Those three passages are amazing testimony of resilience. What was Paul's secret? What was Paul's secret of the ability to get back up again? Well, it was an eternal perspective. He had a greater purpose. And as I said earlier, you can handle unbelievable pain if you can see a purpose in it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, here is the purpose that Paul says keeps him going. For this reason, this is the reason we never become discouraged, even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is being renewed day after day. He said, I can't stop the aging process, but I can stay fresh and renewed in my spirit on the inside. He says, these temporary troubles we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, the reward in heaven, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen, because what can be seen lasts only for a time. It's temporary. But what cannot be seen lasts forever. This is the power of growing in Christ when you're in pain, of seeing a greater perspective that, yes, I'm in pain right now, but even if I had chronic pain my entire life might be 60, 70, 80, at the most 90 years or so, but I'm going to benefit from it in heaven and receive the rewards and reap the benefits for trillions of years. He said, that stuff's going to last forever. So have the greater perspective when you're in pain. That's not just here and now.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. Now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, As one of the best-selling nonfiction books in history, with more than 50 million copies sold in all formats and more than 70 translations available, The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren is far more than just a book. It's a roadmap for your spiritual journey, a journey that will transform your life. In The Purpose-Driven Life, you'll find answers to three of life's most important questions. The question of existence. Why am I alive? The question of significance. Does my life matter? The question of purpose. What on earth am I here for? You'll also discover the five benefits of knowing your purpose. The Purpose-Driven Life is designed to be read daily in 42 short chapters that will inspire you to stop and realize how God uniquely designed you for a purpose that only you can fulfill. It also includes links to 3-minute video introductions to each chapter and a 30 to 40-minute audio Bible study message for each chapter, along with appendixes and questions for further study and additional resources. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, one of the things that really thrills me is when I hear from you and you tell me that you're sharing what I'm sharing with you with other people. In other words, you're passing it on. That makes us partners in ministry. Today, I want to share with you a note from Ty, who listens regularly to Daily Hope, and then he passes it on to others. Here's what he wrote me. Pastor Rick, in today's podcast, you asked for listeners to share with you who we have introduced Daily Hope to. Well, I've done that a lot. I've shared your messages with dozens of men at the recovery ministry of my local church. And after completing the program myself, I'm leading the next group of believers walking through the 12 steps of Celebrate Recovery. And I usually have some wonderful insights to share that come to me from your Daily Hope messages. I'm also recommending your messages to my father, who is now a fervent listener as well. We call and we text each other often to discuss what we're learning. He says, Rick, my father recently gave me a signed copy of The Purpose-Driven Life as a gift to commemorate my 1 year of sobriety. I consider it a prized possession, and I display it proudly in my office. Well, Ty, God bless you, and thank you for your note. I'm just so glad to hear about what God is doing in your life, in your relationship with your dad, in your sobriety, in your steps of recovery, and in your ministry to other people. This is what Daily Hope is all about. We're in this together. I help you through these broadcasts so you can help others. Good work, my friend.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.